Rez, if you will, open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We continue on through the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we talked about love. This week we're going to talk about the second of the fruit of the Spirit. As you remember, it's not necessarily the gifts that determine whether we are growing spiritually. We're gifted by the Holy Spirit, but those gifts don't determine growth, but the fruit of the Spirit does. We should be giving evidence and having evidence of these things in our life if we are growing spiritually. Beginning in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I mean, one of the things that I do as a pastor, when people talk to me, a lot of times I'll meet people, when they find out that I'm a preacher, they will just immediately start asking me questions about the Bible or begin to share with me situations in their life that have caused them pain or problems. I don't know, it's just almost like a counselor out beside your name. People, oh, you're a counselor. Well, let me tell you what happened to me. Well, that happens a lot as a preacher. And one of the things I have found through the years is that there are a lot of people who are struggling in their life, making their way through life, but not very well. And, you know, I thought about this. Even in our churches, we all have problems. Everybody has problems. Nobody is problem-free. But what I would ask that question sometimes is this. Can you remember a time in your life? Can you remember when life was joyful? Maybe it was before depression hit. Maybe it was before the economic troubles. Maybe it was before layoffs. Maybe it was before these presidential debates that have got us all sick at our stomach. Maybe it was before the accelerating crime rates or the decreasing health care or increasing health care costs. Maybe it was back when your health was better. You know, the time when you felt good about life. Well, this morning I want to talk about joy in our hearts. And this morning's message is what I believe is a biblical idea, and that's this. Life was meant and is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. I think too many times we were enduring life instead of enjoying life. It doesn't matter what you have. A lot of times, most of the days, most joy-filled days that we'll recall are times when you know, we may not have had much, but we enjoyed what we had. You know, sadly today, in some cases, joy that is so vital in our life, something that's so biblical for our hearts, has departed. In its absence, we have hearts that seldom sing, lips that rarely laugh, faces that seldom smile. And we're struggling through. Someone once asked Mother Teresa what the job description for anyone that wanted to work alongside her was in the grimy streets of Calcutta. And she said this very simply. She said, only two things, a desire to work hard and a joyful attitude. You know what that says to me? It's not only what we do, it's how we do what we do that matters. In our spiritual lives, it's not just that we serve the Lord, but we serve the Lord with gladness, right? That when we sing to the Lord a song, we sing to the Lord a new song or a song of joy. It's not just what we do. It's not just going through the motions. It's doing what we do with joy in our hearts. You know, many times we lose our joy because we get under the circumstances. The circumstances of life hit us hard. But correct me if I'm wrong, the Christian life is not meant to be under the circumstances. It's meant to be above the circumstances. Joy that the Scripture speaks of here is something that's not shackled by circumstances. You remember when Paul wrote the book of Philippians? That's one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's a really good book. And I think it was one of Paul's favorites as you read his writing. It was a church that he was excited about. A church that was doing great things for the Lord. And he writes to them about joy. And he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now understand, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And as he wrote those words, he was scribbling them from a prison cell. The circumstances of his life weren't good as he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes, not when life feels good, but always. You know, I think that's a key for us this morning to think about. To have the fruit of joy ripen in our life is a journey. It's not instantaneous. If you've got a garden, Kermit, you planted that garden. I guess you'll be picking stuff tomorrow, right? No, really, you planted a garden. You're going to pick it real soon, right?
Well, it won't be too long.
Like a day or two. You know, a lot of times we think in our spiritual lives what we want from God's got to happen now. But joy is a journey. It, you know, just like that garden, you're going to have to overcome weather, bugs, weeds. I don't know how your soil is, but it may not be the greatest soil. You know, there's going to be times, there's going to be some things that have to be overcome. Well, on the journey of faith, along the way, we're going to get hit with struggles, with pessimism, with doubt, with despair, with grief, with sorrow. All those things on our journey of faith, we're going to be hit with. How do you maintain joy through that? Process, and we grow in that area. It's the work of the Spirit growing in our life. We need the Holy Spirit to prune away whatever it is that hinders our joy if we're going to grow fruit for the kingdom. You know, Helen Mallicott wrote this jewel. She said, I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly my Lord was speaking, my name is I Am. He paused, he waited, he continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and its fears, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not, I will be. But when you live in this moment, it is not hard. My name is I Am, and I am here. That's the same thing so many thousands of years ago God was trying to tell Moses when Moses was afraid to do what he asked him to do. So who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. Let me put those words the best way I know how to say it. I will be what you need. In our life, when we are trusting God to work, no matter the circumstances of our life, no matter the fears that we may have, the regrets, what we have to remember is I am that I am. God is all I need. God will supply what I need. That's the key to having joy in your life, is understanding that God will supply you with whatever it is you need. You don't have it on your own. No one has it on their own. But God will have it when you need it. I told you Philippians was a book of joy. Well, when you flip through the book of Philippians, here's what you'll find. Chapter 1, there's joy in living, Paul says, in spite of our circumstances. Chapter 2, there's laughter in serving. You know, as you follow the Lord with the right attitude, which is humility, the right theology, which is God is always God, and he's always on the throne, and it is encouraged by good friends, which he mentions Timothy. In chapter 3, he says there's joy in sharing. He shared his testimony. He shared his goals. Paul says, my goal is to be like Christ. Whatever he has for me, I'm ready to go. And then in chapter 4, he finishes up saying there's joy in trusting. Because I know who's in charge. You know, this morning, do you know who's in charge in your life? The human part of us, you know what? A lot of times we want to take over. God, I'll call you when life gets hard. We want to direct the ship most of the time and then turn to God when life gets tough. You know what Paul says? True joy in your life comes from moment to moment living, knowing that God is in control. Kind of like Martha said before her testimony a while ago, it's not that I'm doing this. It's that God is doing it through me. You know, before Paul wrote to that church in Galatia, if you want to look back at chapter 4, verse 15, just flip over a page, chapter 15. Here's the question that he had for that church. In chapter 4, verse 15, what has happened to all your joy? In the New American Standard Bible, it says, what happened to the sense of blessing that you had? That's a question all of us have to stop from time to time and answer. What happened to the sense of blessing that we once had? You know, sometimes we take things for granted. We don't appreciate all we've been given. Paul was telling that church, hey, remember how good God's been to you. What happened to that sense of blessing? Sometimes as Christians, we need to ask ourselves that. I want to give you three quick joy stealers today, because those are the things that will cause you to have misery in life, cause you to be separated from God, cause you to endure life instead of enjoy life. There's three joy stealers. Number one is unmet expectations. Perhaps there's something, you know, maybe you don't have everything you want. Nicer car, bigger house, better job, marriage that isn't going the way you want it to go, children that maybe aren't living the way they should. Those kind of things tend to be what steal our joy. Discontent over unsatisfied expectations will drain us. Paul knew that he had to be content even when life didn't go his way. Can you think of an example of that? Maybe where Paul was talking about life can change on you, and you've got to learn to be able to be content no matter what situation or circumstances it brings. Remember Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12? Here's what he says. I have learned to be content in every situation. I've learned to get along with humble means. And I've also learned how to live in prosperity. Paul was saying, hey, when life is good, God, I've learned to trust in you. When life is hard, I've learned to trust in you. You know what that means? I've learned to trust in you all the time. Unmet expectations. He also had the desire, he had to learn to live with those unsatisfied expectations, because contentment, you might remember this, contentment doesn't come by having everything we want, but when we want everything we have. When we want everything we have. Now let me tell you, that can take in a lot of stuff. There's going to be times maybe God's going to bring something into your life and you're going to look at that and I don't want that. And you're going to struggle unless you embrace it and say, God, you brought it to me. Use it to bring out the best. Use it to shape my character. Use it to make me what you want me to be. Because sometimes God may bring things into your life that aren't easy. But we want everything that He brings to us. Secondly, not only is there unmet expectations, a second joy stealer is unresolved conflict. When someone offends us, when someone does something intended or unintended that grabs our emotional attention and brings anger to our heart, that anger will cloud our eyes and it will cloud our heart. It'll obscure our vision of God and our view of God, and it will steal our joy. You think, well, I can separate my relationship with God from my relationship with other people. Well, let me tell you, if you think that, you just wrote another Bible. Because the one that we have doesn't teach that. The one that we have teaches us that our relationship with other people affects our relationship with God, and our relationship with God affects our relationship to other people. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many are defiled. There's a link. Paul says there's a link between joy and unity. Philippians 2:2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. When we have anger in our heart towards someone else, not only does it steal your joy, it also hurts the body of Christ. Unresolved conflict, unmet expectations. And the third thing, and probably the one that deals the most misery to us, the one that causes the most joy to be lost in our life, the third joy stealer is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin that results in guilt, regret, and it will gut your joy and your relationship with God. Psalm 32, look this up sometime. Psalm 32, I'm going to read verses 3 through 5 here. Here's what the psalmist said. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groanings all day long. Verse 4, my vitality was drained away as the fever heat in a summer. He said, my unconfessed sin broke me and my relationship with God to such a point I was miserable. Look at verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So he was saying, man, I was struggling with this sin, and it was eating me up. And then once I confessed it, I began to regain that joy. Go back to verse 1, and here's what he says. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The psalmist said it made such a difference in my life when I got before God and says, Lord, we need to talk about this. I need forgiveness. And it changed his attitude and it changed his heart. You know, a lot of times when we're not able to experience the joy of the Lord in our life, it's because we have unconfessed sin, unmet expectations, or unresolved conflict. Because they will all do it. You know, just like the scripture points out that those three things can hurt our relationship with God, there is a couple of things that will bring joy to your life. Number one is worship. We value God's presence. God delights in us, and he finds joy in his creation, praising him. The Westminster Confession hit it right on the money when it says, our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's the why of creation. That's the why you were made. When David focused on God's character in Psalm 28, he couldn't help but break out in joy. Look at verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. And I will give thanks to him in song. My heart leaps for joy. Joy helps us to see God's purpose for our life. And when we know that God has a purpose for our life, it gives meaning to each day. And that goes much deeper than our circumstances. Happiness is dictated by circumstances. But joy overcomes the circumstances. James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Because joy gives you strength to overcome those trials. James is saying, if you want victory over your trials, embrace them. Consider it joy. Know that God is going to get you through it, and know that God has a purpose in it. I want to close with this thought. Because a lot of times when you ask people how life is going and they say, man, life is hard, I just don't have any joy. Here's what I want you to understand. No one can take your joy. You can give it away. You can give your joy away, but no one can take it from you. Satan can't steal your joy. You remember when Jesus had just fasted the wilderness, went up on the mountain. Satan attacks him with temptation, wants him to bow down to him, wants him to kind of show off. And, you know, basically what Satan was saying is, you're God's son. You deserve better than this. Worship me, and I'll make your life better. You know, you don't deserve the struggle that you're going through. Satan will do anything he can to try to break your trust in God. Because you see, your trust in God is where you get joy. When we give our trust away, our joy goes with it. If you can't completely trust God today, you are not going to have joy in your heart, because the enemy will come against you at your point of weakness, and the circumstances will overwhelm you. When you have complete trust in God, no circumstances of life will come against you that will cause you to lose joy. You can only give your joy away when you fail to trust in the Lord. That's biblical. You know, joy infuses us with strength. Nehemiah 8:10, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy keeps us from giving up. I want you to flip with me in real quick, last verse, John chapter 16, verse 20. John chapter 16, verse 20. Jesus was about to be crucified. He was about to go through all the trials and the beatings and everything that was going to happen that would cause his apostles and disciples to be afraid of what was going on and to think, okay, the cause is lost. And in verse 20, says, truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. When did their grief get turned into joy? When they saw the resurrection. When they saw that death couldn't hold him, and when they knew, now we can completely trust you. There is no problem for you that's too big, Jesus. When you can come up out of a grave, there is nothing that you face that's stronger or more powerful than you. And therefore, there is nothing we will ever face that's more powerful than you. They began to trust completely. And those same cowards that scattered all across the land, running, didn't want anything to do with him, became the great apostles. The ones that would preach in the face of stonings. The ones that they themselves, 11 out of 12, would be killed for their faith, martyred for their faith. The other one would be exiled, because now they knew. Listen, when you know that you know that you know, no matter what happens to you, that God is in control, you'll have joy in your heart. No one steals it. We can give it away. No one steals it. This morning, let me ask you, do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? Do you know that God's in control of every circumstance of your life, no matter what it is, no matter how hard it is, no matter how good it is, no matter what it is, that God's in control? That's the key. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, it all starts with a relationship with Him that you gain strength from. If you're here and you know Christ, then you got to trust Him on a daily basis. No matter what life brings your way, trust Him. Trust Him. If you're struggling with problems today, trust Him. Take those problems to the Lord. If there's unconfessed sin, if there's unresolved conflict, if there's unmet expectation, take them to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask Your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts wherever we are right now. I know a lot of times we like to hide things. We keep things inside, things that no one else knows about. But Lord, they drain us. And I pray that right now, if there's anyone here today who has lost the joy of their salvation, the joy of trusting You on a daily basis. They're enduring life but not enjoying it. Then Lord, I pray that You would speak to their heart. Things might be made right between You and them again. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who needs to trust You as their Savior, who might need to join this church, that today we would hear Your voice and that we would answer and we respond. As You lead us, Lord, may we listen to Your voice. In Christ's name we pray.